Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
All right, good morning. Here's Tabernacle. If you want to stand up out of your seats, we're going to give God praise this morning. Everybody, come on, make your way to the front. We're going to give God all the glory. We have every reason to praise Him. So come on to the front and let's give Him that praise. All right, family, I'm going to ask that everybody come on to the front and we're going to move.
A chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am.
Come on.
I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I work in miracles. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I work in miracles, I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. Oh, 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 I know who I am.
If you know, give a shout.
Oh, 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 I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, call forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, call forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I work in miracles. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power. I work in miracles. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. Oh, 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 I know who I am. Oh, 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 I know who I am.
I am holy. I am righteous. Oh, I am so rich. I am
walking in power, yeah, working miracles. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power, I work in miracles. I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. Oh,
Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you guys ready to praise him some more? Thank you, Jesus.
Water, you turn into wine. You open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, oh, our God is greater, our God is stronger. Healer, awesome in power, our God, and into the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other.
Our God is healer, awesome in power.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger.
God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power.
For us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against?
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us?
Nothing
and
if can stop our God us.
Stand!
Come on and give God a shout of praise. Come on and give God a shout of praise. We just got done saying how great our God is. We just got done testifying his name. So come on and give God a shout if you believe it. Come on and give God a shout of praise if you believe it. One more time, give God a shout of praise because he is great. He is mighty. Hallelujah. 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 Isn't he amazing? Come on, let's just be real. Isn't he amazing? We shouldn't be right here. We shouldn't be. I shouldn't be up here. But he's amazing because he loves us. Because he's great and he's mighty. Which is why we should give ourselves back to him. Saying, God, here I am. Use me. Lord God, you're amazing. So literally live inside of me. Let your heart be my heart. Let your mind be my mind. So if you believe that, just lift your hands. Come on and pray. Come on and pray to God. Just tell him how much you love him. Tell him how much you need him in your heart. Tell him how much you adore him. Hallelujah. Sing this. I just want to worship.
I just want to worship you.
Sing, I just want to see your face.
And I just want to see your face.
Come on, I just want to love on you, God.
And I just want to love on you.
Come on and sing that just one more time. Sing, I just want.
And I just want to please your heart.
Sing, I just want to worship you, yeah.
I just want to worship you.
Sing, I just want to seek your face, oh.
I just want to see your face.
And I just want to love on you,
oh. Hallelujah.
Come on and sing. Just sing that one more time. Sing, I just want to please your heart.
I just want to please your heart.
Sing, I just want to worship you. Oh, yeah.
I just want to worship you.
But I just want to see your face. Yeah, yeah.
I just
want to love on you.
I just want to love on you.
Come on, let's take it up. Sing, I just want to please your heart, yeah.
I just want to please your heart.
Come on, lift your hands and sing, I just want to worship you, yeah.
I just want to worship you.
Come on, testify to the Father. I just want to see your face.
I just want to see your face.
Oh, I just want to love. I just want to love on
you. I just want to love on you.
Come on and sing this with me. Sing, it's all about you. Come on, y'all. Sing.
It's all about you.
Sing, it's all about you, God. Sing, it's not about
for your glory,
it's
Lord.
Oh,
oh, yeah. Sing, it's all about you. Oh,
it's all about
come
you.
On and sing that out
loud.
Come on
you.
And testify.
It's all about
sing,
you.
It's all about you, Lord. It's all about you, God.
Come on and sing this. Sing. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Come on. Jesus, I love you. Come on and sing that. Sing that out with everything you have.
Jesus, I love you.
Sing, Jesus, I love
Jesus,
you. I worship
love
and adore you.
Jesus, I
love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Can we sing that one more time? Come on, sing.
Jesus, I love you.
I love you, Lord.
Jesus, I love
sing,
you.
Sing, I worship and adore.
Jesus, I love you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Just tell him how much you love him. Come on, minister to your Father. Minister to your Father. Dear Lord, I love you. I worship and adore you, Lord God. I thank you for lifting my head this morning so that I can come here once more, one more time, Lord God, and give you everything that I have so that you can use me throughout the week, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The ground I'm standing on. You're more real than the ground. The ground I'm standing on. Hallelujah. Yeah. Sing your thoughts. Your thoughts define me. You're inside of me. You are my reality. Oh, you're my reality. Yeah. Come on, let's sing the greatest name. Our Father, come on and sing Abba. Say it. And Abba. Sing, I belong to you, yeah, yeah.
I belong to you.
Hallelujah. Come on, let's sing that again. Sing Abba.
Abba.
Sing, I belong to you. Oh.
I belong to you.
Come on, we're going to go back to the top. Let's sing, you're more real. Hallelujah.
And you're more real than.
Sing the wind in my lungs.
The wind in my lungs.
Sing, you're more real.
And you're more real than.
The ground I'm standing on.
The ground I'm standing on.
Come on and sing, your thoughts define me.
Your thoughts define me.
Sing, you're inside of me.
You're inside of me. You.
Father God, oh, hallelujah. Your name is Abba. Your name is Father. I call you
Abba.
Sing, I belong to you, yeah.
I belong to you.
Hallelujah. You guys sound amazing. Come on and sing that with everything that you have. Come on, sing, Abba, I belong to you.
Abba.
His presence is amazing. Come on and sing that again.
Abba,
sing, I belong to you.
I belong to you. You know,
sing, Jesus, I.
Jesus,
I belong to you. Amazing God, because you died for me on Calvary, I belong to you, Lord God. You gave the biggest price. Sing,
Jesus,
I belong to you.
I belong to you.
Come on, let's sing that out. Come on, sing, Jesus, I belong to you.
Jesus,
I belong. Sing, Jesus, I.
Jesus,
I belong to you.
I belong to you.
Hallelujah. Come on and lift your hands and really sacrifice yourself and sing this out. Come on, y'all. Sing,
Jesus.
To you or who's watching you, come on and sing. Come on and sing to your master, your father says,
Jesus,
I belong to you. Yeah.
I belong to you.
Come on, can we sing that just one more time? Can we sing that just one more time? Sing, Jesus.
Jesus.
Worship songs. God, I come to church and it almost seems like I'm standing all by myself. The Lord wants you to hear very clearly that he's never stepped aside. He's waiting for you to press in like a jealous lover. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always. Don't be dismayed. Don't be confused. I'm right there. But I want more of you, says God. I want more of you. I want you to want me more. And as you do, you're going to find that my presence is more than just going to be what it was. It will be far more and greater than you could ever think or imagine. My passion is to show you, reveal to you my love, my name, my understanding, that you would know me in a greater dimension, says the Lord. So no, I haven't left. I'm waiting for you to press closer. Press in. I'm right there. I'm right there. Father, we thank you that you are close to us. I just sense your presence, God. We honor you, Jesus. Holy Spirit. Here he comes. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Difficulty believing in God before you gave your heart to Jesus, and now you're finding that same void, and now your mind is playing and asking you, is he really real? The Lord says, be like the children of Israel who look back. They were told to look back and look at memorials of the supernatural that have occurred in their life already, whether it be personal visitation or like opening the Red Sea. I have laid places and put things in your life so that you would struggle with denial, for the enemy is out to steal your faith. In the last days, even the elect shall be deceived. But those memorials that I placed in your life are for you to look back and remind yourself that I'm not a figment. I'm not a thought process. I'm not a religion. I am your God.
Amen.
And Lord, I thank you that today you are shoring that person up in the spirit. For God is speaking with all the folks that are right here today. He's speaking to you. You got to know how much he loves you. He actually just took a segment of the service to speak directly to you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we honor you this morning. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We honor you, God. We honor you, God. For those that are wondering what that is, that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's called tongues with the interpretation of tongues. It's God speaking to you. This is actually a sign for the unbelievers. This morning, if you're an unbeliever, you just saw God and heard God speak to you. You know, there are times that you fiddle and play around. Then there are times when God is speaking so clear that you want to take those moments and arrest them. What are you saying to me, Jesus? What are you saying to me, Jesus? What are you saying to me? If you'll speak prophetically and speak with the tongues interpretation, that means the sweet voice of the Holy Ghost is waiting to talk to you specifically. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. These are the moments. It might come in your car, it might come in the shower, it might come at church. Just you being sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because God loves you. I'm sorry, I don't got religion for you. I mean, if you were thinking we were going to be done singing at 11:25 and 26 seconds, I'm sorry. Wrong church. We want God.
Yes.
I'm not interested in religion. I don't want to get to heaven and be shocked.
Really?
He says you can know him right here. You can know his whisper. You can know his heart. What I teach at 7:15 prayer meeting is I teach everybody that God has a mood today. God does. He has a mood today. He has something specific he wants to do right here, right now. We already had first service. And there's a service happening right now in Ithaca. But what does God want to do right here, right now, on the 3rd of February at 11:34 and 57 seconds? That's what we have to pay attention to. Because it would be horrible missing the mood. You ever miss somebody's mood before? They walk in, you thought you were going to be funny, and they're about to lob your head off. You didn't read the mood. And the Holy Spirit wants to do something in your life today. And he's not moody. He has a design for you right now. Don't leave here without knowing what God has for you today. Just sense the anointing flowing. What is the anointing if you're fresh? The anointing is the power that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's eternal heaven. It's supernatural power. And the purpose for the anointing is to bring order in our life. Some of you are so chaotic in your life, in your thinking, and God's trying to bring order right now. Right now, he's trying to bring order. Just know how important you are. Don't let anybody ever tell you any different. He loves you. He loves you. You know, what's really funny about men is this church has a lot of men in it. We've always prayed for that. We don't pray, we pray for men. Men. Men, hear me. You can be vulnerable to God. It's not sissy.
Amen.
It's not sissy. And husbands, you want your wife to love you more? Mm-hmm. More you love God, more she's going to love you.
Come on.
Truth.
This is where we make a choice. I love Dean. Dean is a man's man.
Yes.
He's a trapper by trade. He's just a beastly guy. But you watch him up front here. He's unabashed. Hands are waving. Listen now, some of you don't know Dean. Dean lives in the town of Breezeport. Dean for years, not even exaggerating, years walked, how many miles? 4.5 miles from his house to church. Every service. Now listen, I'm talking like Rock Solid Faith Tuesday nights. Rain and snow, we try to catch him before he gets here, but somebody ends up picking him up, thank God, because he's been on that road so many years. But he wants God. How many years have you given your heart to the Lord? How many years? 6 years. turned 66 Wednesday. So 60 years old when he came here, sold out to Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean he's perfect. You're not perfect. You'll admit that. But you love Jesus. Unashamed. We've got to get to a new place in our life. Next level, amen?
Amen.
Turn to someone and say, next level.
Next level.
Come on, tell somebody else, time for next level. On your way back to your chair, make sure you tell five or six folks you don't know. Come on, go meet somebody. Don't be a snob. Go find somebody you don't know. Maybe you're reserved. That's all right. At least keep standing and shake somebody's hand.
To settle on into your seats and pay attention to the announcements that are up and coming.
Good, y'all. Groups start back up January 13th. You can sign up at histabernacle.com/groups or on a Sunday at the Information Center. We want you to be part of a family that goes and grows together. We want to see you in a group.
Hey, guys. Baptism Sunday is February 17th, both services. If you would like to sign up, you can do so out in the Information Center in the foyer, or you can sign up at histabernacle.com/baptisms. If you haven't gotten baptized before, this is a great opportunity for you to further your relationship with Jesus and go to that next level. It completely changed my life, and it can change yours too.
It was so unfortunate that we had to postpone our special service with Pastor Rick Shelton due to the snowstorm from a few weeks back. But we're so happy to announce that on February 24th, we were able to reschedule him for him to be here with us for one special service at 10 a.m. We cannot wait for you to receive the blessing of his ministry, the impartation of the anointing on his life, and the call of God on his life. He has traveled the world. He has preached to the nations. He has pastored some of the greatest leaders of our time, and he wants to come and to impart into you and I. So remember, February 24th, one service. We cannot wait to celebrate with you.
All right, so guys, family, we have marriage class. It's in step two of Next Steps. It's starting January 29th, 7 p.m. Listen, you might be newly married. You might have been married a long time. Either way, this class you want to be a part of to help you grow and mature in your marriage. So again, January 29th, step two, marriage, 7 p.m. See you there.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. How's everybody doing this morning? It is 43 degrees outside. It is 40 degrees warmer than last week. That's more than enough reason to give God a shout of praise. And tomorrow is going to be 54 degrees. I am so excited. Spring is around the corner. Give God a shout of praise. Thank you, Jesus. We're just so excited to be here in the house of the Lord. Who here, this is your first time as a guest in the house today? Who you see, just lift up your hand if you are a guest. Amen. Come on, put your hands together for our guest. Thank you so much for coming to worship with us. Right now, you'll be receiving a gift basket. Do we have another one up front? I believe we have one more up front. Okay, inside that basket, you're going to get a gift from our church. But more importantly, we want to invite you to our guest reception on this side of the building right after our church service. There'll be free coffee. You get to meet some of the people on staff. And we just want to say thank you so much for coming to worship with us. You could have chosen any other church, but you chose this one today. And we can't wait for you to come back and to join our family. So let's give it up one more time for our guests. Amazing that they're here. We want to welcome our live stream family. Thank you so much for your faithfulness to be tuning in. Who is excited? Come on. Who is excited to see the Patriots lose today? I love that we're His Tabernacle Family Church. We're His Tabernacle what?
Family.
Family. We bicker, we fight, we play, we have fun, and that is the beauty about this church. You're not just another person. You're not just taking up another, oh my goodness.
We do know one thing that's biblical. Rams were slaughtered.
But Patriots were never mentioned in the Bible. Patriots were never mentioned in the Bible, Pastor. Feel my Bible college anointing coming on me. So as a family, here's what I want you guys to do. Take out your phones. Come on. Don't play. Take out your phones. Y'all gonna be on your phones anyways. Take them out. Turn to the person next to you, and I want you to take a selfie with them, okay? If you're over the age of 60, Mama, she's like, what you talking about? Person next to you, they're gonna help you. Take a selfie, then go on Facebook and post it. Tag them, tag His Tabernacle. Let everybody be jealous that they are missing out on the best church experience possible. Let them know that this is our family. We're going to the next level. We're so excited to be here. Somebody wants to take a selfie with Pastor? Go ahead, go ahead. Come on, quickly, quickly. Even if you don't know the person, go and take a selfie with them. Awesome. This is what family is about, you guys. So go ahead and post it and tag it.
How do you tag?
Okay, I'll do it for you later, Pastor. Also, as part of the family, we want you to be plugged in throughout the entire week. It's not just about being plugged in on a Sunday. We want you plugged in Monday through Saturday. So here's what we've done at our church. We've made sure that there's several opportunities for you to either be here in person or on the phone to get plugged in. The first way is Monday through Thursday. You can call in at 6:15 a.m. on our morning prayer line. You don't have to pray. You just dial in, put it on mute, and listen for 15 minutes to start your day off. You can find more information about that in our bulletin or go see Pastor Andre. It is an amazing time every single week, Monday through Thursday, for the past how many years? 7, 8 years? It's been a while, and it's been great. Amen. Who loves the 6:15 a.m. prayer line? Awesome. Also, we have a class called Rock Solid Faith that is happening Tuesday nights. Wednesday morning and Thursday nights, three dynamic teachers, all teaching the same content, the same topics. You want to make sure that you get plugged into them. This will lay the bedrock for your faith. Amen? And then after that, we have a step two class. Pastor Dan talked about that. We just have so much going on. In addition, we also have groups. Shout groups. If you're part of a group, come on, just jump up to your feet. If you're part of a group, come on. Yeah. I love it. We are living life together. If you are not standing up, that's okay. We want you to join a group today. If somebody was there standing right next to you, just say, hey, can I join your group? Hey, tell me more about your group. We want to live life with you every single day. Amen? We don't want you to feel alone. We don't want you to have to wait till next Sunday to be here. We want to live life with you. So get plugged into a class. Get plugged into a group. Join the morning prayer line. And we're excited to live life with you throughout the week. Amen?
Good morning. Yeah? All right. Two people. It's a good morning. Can I hear a third, fourth, fifth, sixth? There you are. Hey, guys, I'm so excited. I love being at church. I love Jesus. I love the Bible. I'm really excited to be here. And one of my favorite Bible characters I want to talk to you about real quick this morning was King David. Anybody else love King David? Yeah, he did a couple really cool things like kill a bear with his hands, kill a lion with his hands, no big deal. Kill this guy named Goliath. Led Israel, God's chosen people, no big deal. Did a lot of really awesome things. But one of the things he did that's so powerful is he brought the Ark of the Covenant back to the tabernacle. Or what he did is he brought the presence of God back to the church. And I love the fact that King David got to do this. He was a man after God's own heart. And the Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, that when King David did this, he actually wrote a psalm, which was a song. And I want to read a little bit of this song because it's so cool. It's so powerful how King David put it. And it's 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 29. And he said this in the first line. He says, give to the Lord the glory due his name. How cool is that? If you've given your life to Jesus and you've been saved, washed of your sins, can you give Jesus a shout giving glory to his name? Yeah. If you've been set free from some sort of addiction or bondage, can you give God glory due his name real quick in this place? If you're blessed because of God, can I hear a shout in this place giving glory due his name? Amen, amen, amen. Look, he's so exciting what he's done in King David. He said it like this, let's give glory to his name. You know, he didn't just say it, he actually told us how to do it. I love that, I love practical. We get that almost every Sunday, that practical life, how do I actually do this? And King David said these two things. Number one, he said, bring an offering and come before him. And number two, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. See, giving God the glory that he's due is actually twofold. It's bringing an offering, which is obedience. And look, we've been blessed abundantly, and all the Lord asks for return is 10%. Look, we've given 40 out of our, like, 160 hours to a job, to a vocation, and he's not asking for all of it back. He's asking to say, God, will you give me this 10% back to give glory to my name so I know where my heart lies? I heard one person say it like this, giving helps to tame materialism. And I want to have control of these things, not just have control of them, but I want to give God glory due his name. The second thing he said is an offering of worship, pure worship. And we just did that this morning. I love worshiping as a family in this place. Amen? But you know what's interesting is he didn't say give him worship or give him an offering. He said give him worship and an offering. Or an offering and then worship. It's twofold. If we were just to give, but not actually give worship, isn't that really religious? Like, well, I'll put my $5 in, but I'm not going to raise my hand. I'm not going to worship. That's really religious, isn't it? None of us really want religion. We know it's not the solution. And on the other hand, if we were just to worship and not give, we're not giving him the full glory due to his name. See, I don't want to shortchange God, and I know he's not going to shortchange me. This is a twofold kind of thing. And maybe you're sitting here saying, well, I can't give 10%. I can't give $10. I don't know where you're at this morning, but I just want to encourage you to start giving to give God the glory due his name. Today, maybe a dollar is your sacrifice, and that's okay. But wherever you are today, I want to encourage you. Let's not just give him worship, and let's not just give him an offering. Let's give him both, because that's glory due to his name. Amen? Tough crowd? First service was way easier than you guys. But I just want to, I really want to do this. And I really want to give God all that he deserves. At the end of the day, that's what it's about, right? Man, he's given us a life we don't deserve. Let's give him everything he does deserve. So today, if you have an offering envelope, there should be one right by your chair. If not, tap your neighbor and see if they'll give you theirs. Also on the screens, there should be a text to give number, or you can go right online, histabernacle.com, and click the giving tab. If you're watching online, you can do that as well. But I just want to encourage you guys, let's not give him half of the glory. Let's give him all the glory that he's due. Amen? Awesome. Let's stand to our feet as we give our tithe and our offering this morning. I'm actually going to pass this part off to Pastor Rhonda, because I always screw it up.
So let's prophesy over our finances this morning. According to Deuteronomy 28, it says, if you'll repeat after me, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. Chased me down. They've trimmed me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and glorify God together this morning.
Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to know who you are? My goodness, there's so many believers that don't know who they are in Christ. They joined a religion but didn't realize they were sons and daughters. You know, the great part about working with Christ and living with Christ is that you are an heir of God. Turn to someone and say, I'm rich.
I'm rich.
Well, no, really, you got to understand what that means. If you're an heir of God, that means you're wealthy. I've never seen a poor king.
Amen.
Amen. Now, that means also, the Bible says, you're a joint heir of Jesus. That means whatever Jesus had while he walked on this planet, you have. So there's no way to walk with your chin dragging on the ground. Can I hear an amen? I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, my Lord. This is not survival for the believer. This is not,
well, I can't wait till he blows that trumpet and gets me out of here.
Nope. I don't know where you are, but I know this. Wherever my feet trod, there I have authority and power in the name of Jesus. I have all authority over the power of the devil that's healing in my hands. God's a supernatural God. He works with every believer. Can I hear an amen for you this morning? I got my wife. She's excited. I'm going to let her preach this morning. No, the problem is she would. We're excited to have all the guests with us. Maybe you saw some things, people raising their hands. What are they doing that for? If I came up with a gun, stuck it in your chest, said, stick them up, give me all your money, you're going to go, whoa, okay, that means surrender. So when you see people raise their hands at church, it's not strange, it's very biblical. The Bible says, lift up your most holy hands without wrath or malice, which is showing that I surrender before God. So when you see somebody raise their hand in church, they're surrendering. It's an outward expression of what they're showing in their heart. So turn to somebody and say, I told you that wasn't weird. At His Tabernacle, we have a theme for the entire year. This is the year of... I can't hear you. I said, this is the year of... Now, how many of you are going to miss the mountain? My goodness, I want to give a shout out to all those that helped tear the mountain down. Where else are you going to find a 16-foot mountain in the house of God? That was just awesome that I was able to climb and fall off of. And I guess my father-in-law fell into it last week during worship. It wasn't in the spirit either. It was just he fell in. So I just want to give God praise for all the team. We have such a phenomenal church, and we're so blessed to be your pastors. Thank you for allowing us to pastor you, to bring the word to you, to encourage you, at times spank, at times bless. You know, it's all a matter of growing. Turn to someone and say, this is all about going to the next level. Amen. I was getting ready to move on to another topic when the Holy Spirit really just struck me strong at the beginning of the week, and He said, I want you to preach this message, and it's about not slipping. How many of you were here last week? We talked about not slipping off the mountain, how God wanted to make you stable, and how important that is. This week, you're going to learn three things. Here you go. You ready? Number one, looking back only brings death. Number two, looking back to what? Number three, choosing to move forward from your Egypt. So this morning we're going to learn through those three things. I want them deep in your spirit because God doesn't want you to make it. God wants you to go over the top. God doesn't want you just to barely make it into heaven. God wants you to be successful here and in heaven. You see, the Lord has a phenomenal plan for your life, but it cannot happen if you're not going to move to your next level, and it cannot happen if you're always going backwards. Our verse for the year is found in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, and it says this, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things, for that I have already reached perfection or maturity, but I press on. Shout, I press on?
I press on.
I can't hear you. Shout, I press on? Tell somebody else, I press on. Did you see that thing that somebody posted on Facebook last week? It was kind of funny. It was a cat. Now, I don't think cats are funny, but it was a cat that it said, when the pastor tells you to turn to somebody and nobody's there. Tell somebody else, I press on. That's right. Not sit on, I press on. Amen. I press on to possess that perfection of which Jesus Christ first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Everybody shout, one thing? Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize from which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. I want to remind you that the summit of our great climb, the summit of our great adventure, is Jesus Himself. Paul made the declaration in the book of Ephesians, Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. He said, I count all things lost just to know Jesus. I call everything dung just to know God. And I want you to realize that we can get to heaven, and that's awesome. That's the cherry on top. But the greatest thing is John chapter 17, verse 3, and this is eternal life, that you may know the Father and the Son whom he has sent. Knowing God is true eternal life. Not knowing religion, not knowing how to do the right things all the time, but knowing God, walking with him, talking with him. That's the summit that ultimately we're after. When we get to heaven, he's just going to reveal himself in a greater dimension. But man, can you imagine being down here on earth? You're calling yourself a believer, but not in relationship with the Lord. You get to heaven, you go, who's that? Is that Jesus over there? Man, you shouldn't be shocked when you see him. You should already know him. That's the ultimate. Today, I want to just focus on this one sentence. It says, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, most of the time when we talk about this verse, we usually talk about when we've fallen or when we're struggling with our past or maybe some unforgiveness of our past, and that all plays in it. But today I want to take it in a different location because I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me that there are many in the body of Christ who have good intentions but will never reach the promised land. They have great desire, but they will never fulfill God's destiny. Why? Because they have chosen not to leave Egypt. I want you to read with me. In fact, I'm going to have Pastor Abina Ebel read this with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. But before he does that, I want to talk to you about learning lessons. Now, how many of you realize how many of you know somebody who said this?
Well, I always learn the hard way, just the way I learn.
I always look at them and go, stupid. Learning the hard way is stupid. Let's just be honest. The Bible talks about wisdom in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The word wisdom is used twice in that text. The first word for wisdom in the Hebrew is how to use knowledge correctly. That means, you know, how many of you took algebra? Look, I hated algebra, but I took algebra, and my dad's a contractor, so the only time I ever used the knowledge correctly was 6, 8, 10, making the building square. That's the only time I used algebra. But I used the knowledge correctly to make sure that the building would be square. The second word for the word wisdom in the book of Proverbs chapter 1 verses 1 through 3 is the ability to learn from your mistakes and other people's mistakes as well. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be smart. I choose not to get hurt. Now, listen, if I took a hammer right now, let's just say a 24-ounce hammer with a waffle head on it, and I took my finger and I placed it down right here, and I took it and I drew back and I swung it and I hit my thumb. I want you to know that I'm not going to be sitting here going, yay. That you're going to hear a scream out of me. Now, I won't cuss because that's not in me. But I'm going to have a scream. Now, blood's going to be coming out from the nail if it doesn't pop all the way off. It's going to be all nice and shattered a little bit because when you use the waffle end of it, it kind of like makes a mess. It, you know, kind of mushes it. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it would be completely unintelligent if you walked up to me after watching me do it and say, dude, that looked like so much fun. Can I do it next? How many of you think that would be somewhat unintelligent? So this morning I want to position us in a place to where we can learn biblically from past mistakes that kept people from God's best. You see, God desires to bring you to the next level, but he can't bring you to the next level if you're making the same mistakes that they've made in the past and have chosen to learn the hard way. You do know what happens the hard way, don't you? For the wages of sin is death. The Bible says that there are some that are actually dead before their time because they chose not to learn from the Word of God. You see, there are people that are not going to go to heaven because they choose not to learn from the Word of God. There are people that are going to remain sick and die before their time because they won't learn from the Word of God. There are people that are going to be shocked when they enter eternity because it's not going to be on the right side. All because the Word of God instructs us clearly how to not make the same mistakes that have caused others death. So I'm going to have Pastor Obina Ebo read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 11.
I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water. For they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness.
Okay, now I want you to hear this. God was not pleased with most of them. Now, I don't know about you, but the greatest desire that I have in my life is to please God. You see, it's not to get to heaven. To get to heaven, like I said, is that cherry on top. But my greatest desire is that I will know God, and in knowing God is pleasing God. There are a lot of folks, now listen now, we all know that's true. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Now, I can prove that to you. How many of you are married? You want to please your spouse, is that correct? Yeah. No. We have marital counseling. Call Pastor Dan, 607-857. When you learn that you want to please your spouse, you make mama happy. If mama's happy, everybody's happy. It's a principle of learning. And I want you to recognize there's nobody that you want to please more than Jesus Christ. Now, the problem with the children of Israel is that God blessed them. Now, I want you to hear this. They were in bondage for 430 years to the Egyptians. Now, I'm not talking like they were just there hanging out. I'm talking their daily job was slavery. They were to make bricks for the Egyptians to erect their great monuments and their buildings. They were stepping in slop all day long. They had to go out and make bricks, bake bricks. Now I want you to realize that's still a known trade in today's world. If you go to Pakistan, when we were working with Pakistan, they actually have slave camps just to bake bricks. And that's what the children of Israel were doing. They were given cabbage. Man, they were being beaten. They were being raped. They were being killed. They were being buried on soil that was not their own. I want you to recognize that that was never God's plan. But you see, one day they started to call out to God, and God heard their voice. And when God heard their voice, he started to send them somebody. I want you to recognize those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. That God has a desire to hear your voice. He has a desire to hear your heart. He has a desire to come and to set you free. God loves to set people free from bondage. And here they were. God set them free, but many of them displeased him. Keep reading.
These things happened as a warning to us so that we would not crave evil things as they did or worship idols as some of them did. As the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test as some of them did and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble as some of them did and then were destroyed by the angel of death. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age.
Now, I want you to realize if we've ever been at the end of the age, we're there now. The Bible says if you look at the sky and you can tell what the sky says about tomorrow, a red sky at night is a red sky in the morning. You know what that means because it shows the weather report without you having to turn on the television. But yet the Bible says that in the last days you'll be able to look at the signs of the time. You might not know the day or the hour, but you will know the season. And right now we're in the greatest season of the church. There are no prophecies left to be fulfilled before the trumpet of God sounds. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air. And so encourage one another with these words. Jesus could come, literally, not figuratively, before this service is over. That's no joke. That's no fear. That's no wonder. That's a reality because the prophetic word of God has been fulfilled to this moment for the prophecy to be fulfilled through the trumpet of God. The rapture is going to happen with the church. We've seen and look at the signs of the time today. And if you've never been wise enough to have the fear of the Lord, you should have some right now. Even sinners know that something is going on. The world is looking at the world today and saying something is up. Something's not right. Not just here in America, but all across the world. There's something going on that we've never seen before. Jesus is coming. I said, Jesus is coming. I said, Jesus is coming. I don't know if you heard me or not. I said, Jesus is coming. And if the church doesn't wise up, what's going to happen is there are many that will not please God. Therefore, they'll be shocked when they're not in the right location. I was sharing in the first service. I know how to build a big church. You build a big church by preaching 20 minutes, something that doesn't offend anybody, that makes everybody happy. I can get you out of here in an hour, I promise. I just do 15 minutes of worship. We'll do a nice little sermonette on giving, and then we'll make sure that I preach that nice message that makes everybody feel good. But I'm not here to make you feel good. I'm not here to build a church. I'm here to build the kingdom of God. And by building the kingdom of God, what that means is God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. God is calling his church to a new level of relationship, to a new level of power, to a new level of demonstration, to a new level of proclamation, to a new level of God declaring through his people that there is hope and purpose and reason, and that somebody who calls on Christ can be born again, washed by the blood, and brought out of Egypt, that you and I are the key to salvation in the last days. You see, this is where you and I have to look at the children of Israel, and we can learn a phenomenal lesson. For all these years, they're in slavery. For all these years, they're getting beaten. For all these years, they're being stolen from God's destiny in their life. Now, when you look at what's called typology, the Egypt is always equated to sin and the world. Moses was equated to Jesus, the Savior. The children of Israel started calling out to God, deliver us from Egypt. Deliver us from our bondage. Deliver us from this captivity. Deliver our children from being raped and pillaged. Deliver us that we can go to what the promise was to Abraham way back when, that land that was declared for us. They called out, and God always sends a deliverer. He sent Moses, and Moses came in, and through the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, the magnificence of our God was shown, and Pharaoh let the children of God go. Here they come down now, 2.5 million people. That's a lot of folk. 2.5 million people are on their way to the Red Sea. When all of a sudden, Pharaoh came to his head. He said, what did I just do? I just let go our entire workforce. So he says, let's go get them. He gets all the chariots and the men of war ready to rock and roll, and off they go to pursue the children of Israel. The children of Israel now are stuck at the Red Sea, and they start doing something that's very unique here. Instead of watching how God delivered them from Egypt, they start wanting Egypt back in their life. You see, you can deliver somebody from Egypt, but you got to get the Egypt out of the delivered. They start complaining. What'd you do? Bring us out here to die? And God did a miracle. He rolled the Red Sea back, and they walked across on dry ground. Now, what's very interesting, there's a whole group of people that say, well, that's not possible. The Red Sea was only 3 inches deep at that point in time. And I said, well, glory be to God. He drowned the entire Egyptian army in 3 inches of water. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. I don't care how you look at it. A miracle was brought. But what was interesting was this, is that the moment hard times came, the first place they went was behind. They did not forget those things which are behind and press towards the mark called the promised land, God's best for their life. Every time a problem came into their life, they started looking back. They started going back. I'd rather have cabbage. Now, listen now. You know that's bad. Somebody said out in the parking lot this morning, Pastor, I love cabbage. God bless you. You and Brussels sprouts, glory to Jesus. God didn't create either of them. I don't know who did. The devil had to create them. The challenge is that so many people get saved, but they don't forget what's behind them, which means they're living a little bit in their past, in their world that they loved, but yet they want to go to heaven, so they live just enough for Jesus. They got a world, their foot in Egypt and a foot in heaven, and I want you to realize that never works. The Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 3 to the church of Laodicea, I have somewhat against you. You are neither hot nor cold, but you are lukewarm. And because you are lukewarm, I'm going to projectile vomit you out of my mouth. That he was going to remove their candlestick, or they were not going to go to heaven. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I'll come in with him and sup with him, and he with me. He was talking to the church. The problem was, it was his church, but he wasn't inside. He was outside. See, what's happened to the children of Israel here was something that was very powerful. And God is saying, I want you to learn from them so you don't make the same mistake. The mistake was they left Egypt, but they didn't leave Egypt in their heart. They still loved Egypt. What's amazing is they forgot. How could you forget so quickly? 430 years of bondage, 430 years of being tortured, 430 years of being murdered, 430 years of being raped, 430 years of never moving forward. But they literally forgot where they came from within days of being gone. God delivered them completely 100% from the control of Pharaoh and Egypt. He delivered them out of sin. He delivered them out of bondage and was leading them, watch now, 13 days it was going to take to get to the promised land. You know what's amazing about that? It didn't take them 13 days. In fact, the entire generation never made it to the promised land. They never walked into the best of God. They never walked into the blessing of heaven. In fact, an entire generation died in the wilderness. Why did they die in the wilderness? Because every single time there was trouble, they went back to Egypt. Every single time there was trouble, they said, I'd rather be in Egypt. I'd rather be doing the mud. I'd rather be doing the bricks. I'd rather be eating the cabbage. I'd rather be drinking. I'd rather be smoking. I'd rather be toking. I'd rather be, come on now. The Bible is so clear. It says this, if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not. We preach such a passive Christianity today where you can live any way you want and everything is good. You're all going to heaven. Listen, all dogs don't go to heaven. Amen. And God is saying, listen, I want to warn you. I want to prepare you. Listen, I don't want you to be like the children of Israel. I want you to learn from their mistakes. And the mistakes that they made was, they still loved Egypt more than they loved me. And that's a scary spot. If you had put them back in Egypt, man, they'd have freaked out. But yet, when they were with God and free, I'm not talking just free. I'm talking God took care of them. Remember, the sign of a true kingdom is how the king treats his people. And so here it is, King Jesus, he's making sure that they're blessed even in the midst of their 40 year never reaching the promised land. God still blessed his kids. Now, I can prove it to you. There was, listen, manna at their doorstep every single morning. They never went without a meal. And when they complained that they didn't have meat, God gave them so much meat it started coming out their nose. What was really cool, miraculously, was their shoes and their clothes never wore out but grew on them. It's really cool. Can you imagine starting this trek at 2 years old? You got a little booty. Not booty. I said booty. Behind, booty. But what happened was, literally, when they were 19, 20, 50 years old, whenever they died in the desert, their shoe grew with them. That's the miraculous power of God. Even in the midst of their rebellion, God still did bless them. But the sad part was they never reached the promised land. They never reached God's best for their life. They never reached their next level. They surrendered their next level because they still loved the world. They still loved Egypt more than they loved God. There comes a place in your walk with Jesus that you have to start making decisions. I'd rather reach my next level and abandon the world and love God with all my heart, my mind, my body, soul, and my strength and see what God has for me. He brought me out of all of that to bring me into something. How horrible would it be to bring me out but never to receive? We know that's true because they sent in 10 spies, if you remember. God said, this is your land. This is your promised land. This is what I got for you. And what happened? Out of the 12, 10 came back and said, we can't do that. There are giants in the land. But two of them, Caleb and Joshua, said, listen, God said it. We can have it. If God said it's ours, it is ours. It doesn't matter how big they are. It doesn't matter how strong they are. It doesn't matter how big their armies are. If God is on our side, there's nothing we cannot do. That's the next level. But instead of moving to the next level, they continue to rely upon their Egyptian experience of their sin and their life that was old instead of moving forward in faith to the life that God had for them. Now listen, if it stopped there, that's just one thing. There's another example that gives the exact same description. It's called Lot's wife. The Bible said that God spoke to Abram and said, I want you to leave Haran, and I don't want you to take any family. Come out from among them. I'm going to show you where to go. I'm going to give you a land of promise. I'm going to give you a land of blessing. But Abram didn't listen to God. Let me tell you something. Your lack of obedience will always steal blessing from your life. He had to share his blessing from God with Lot. And that was not the plan of God. Finally, there was a problem between Lot's men and Abram's men. They were fighting, and Abram said, take whatever piece you want, it's yours. And so Lot took the best land. And he moved into a city called Sodom and Gomorrah. As he moved into the city, what's powerful about this city was that it was a powerful city. It was a known city. But that city was evil. And that city was the world. In fact, it was so bad that God was going to destroy the city. And Abram actually stood in the gap or prayed that God wouldn't destroy the city if he could find a certain amount of righteous people. So God recanted, which is pretty cool, that he actually changed the mind of God. So God sent two angels down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot was sitting at the city gate and saw them and said, hey, guys, why don't you come to my house for supper tonight? Do you have a place to stay? And they said, no, we'll just stay in the marketplace. He said, no. I insist. You got to come to my house. So they go to Lot's house and they're in there. And the Bible says that the entire city, all the men, got together and wanted to have a gang rape on these two men. What? He said that in church. Well, that's in the Bible. Send those two men out so we can all have sex with them. They were going to pass them around all and rape them all constantly right out there in public. And Lot said, no, I don't want you to take them. Listen, I have two virgin daughters. Take my virgin daughters and do whatever you want with them, but don't touch these two men. And the men said, no, I don't think so. And they started pressing in. And the angel grabbed Lot, pulled him into the house, and struck the men of the city with blindness. Now, I don't know about you, but that would have convinced me of something. But you see, when somebody's evil and their mind is not the mind of God, that even the things of God can be seen as evil. And so all of a sudden, here we are. These men are there, and God says, I'm going to destroy the city. And these two angels looked at Lot and said, get your family out of here. Tomorrow, this place is going to be destroyed. Lot goes to his son-in-laws and said, hey, guys, listen, God said this. We got to bug out tomorrow. And the son-in-law said, listen, I know you're joking, father-in-law. We're not going anywhere. But the next morning, we find that the angel said, come on, get your family. And we actually see in the scripture, I'm going to read it in a second, that Lot hesitated from the salvation of his God. But God, with his mercy, still delivered his family. Anybody says, God's not good, man, I'm going to tell you something. How many of you had more than one shot to go to heaven? Here he goes all of a sudden. Now he starts to leave. Lot starts to bug out. It's right here in Genesis chapter 19, verses 16 and 17, and it says this. Lot still hesitated. The angel seized his hand and the hands of his wife and the two daughters and rushed them to safety outside the city. For the Lord was merciful. When they were safely out of the city, one of the angels ordered them, run for your lives and don't look back. Don't look back. Don't look back or stop in the valley. Escape or you will be swept away. Don't look back. Turn to someone and say, don't look back. Verse 26 says something that's very sad. That as a pastor of 30 plus years, I can't tell you how many times I've actually seen. Watching people come to the altar and truly have a genuine experience with Jesus, where God supernaturally changed their heart from death to life. He brought a heart of stone and turned it to a heart of flesh. That God, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That they literally became born again. God changed them. But yet I watched them as time went on. They never left Egypt. They continued to go back and party. They continued to go back and live the same life they used to. They continued to talk the same way, hang out with the same folks. And all of a sudden, they were gone. Don't look back. Something that she did changed her entire life. Something that she did changed her entire family. The Bible says in verse 26, says this, but Lot's wife looked back and she was following behind him and she turned into a pillar of salt. Remember what it said in Philippians. Forgetting those things which are behind. Some of us are still so in love with the world. We still play so much with the world. And we're wondering why our relationship with Jesus seems to be dying. There's no way for your relationship with God not to die if you're not living right. Now, I want to remind you, in Corinthians, this is what they said. This is what the children of Israel were doing. They were out drinking. Big movement in the church today that says there's nothing wrong with drinking. I guess you haven't read the book of Proverbs much. Book of Proverbs says it's not right for a king to drink. It makes a mocker of them. By the way, hard liquor has always been a sin. Hard liquor has always been a sin in the scripture. Wine was an option, but I want to remind you, if you want to drink wine, that you got to water it down 7 parts to 1 to be biblical. Well, I didn't hear nothing. I got to turn to somebody and say an amen over in the corner. Somebody said to me, Pastor, I just need a glass of wine at night just to calm my spirit down, just to calm down. I said, oh, really? So you don't need the Holy Ghost. Ask the world. They know you're not supposed to be drinking. Come on, you're sharing Jesus with a Budweiser. Hey, bud. Want to go to church with me? Hey, bud. You messed up. Because even the world knows what it means to be in Egypt. Even the world knows what it means to be in bondage. Even the world knows what we should be doing as believers or not doing as believers. Oh, boy, it did get quiet in here. Smoking and toking, doing your drugs.
Well, they're making it legal in New York State.
That's right. You got to go get high to get high. That means you're low. Because when you need to get high, that means you don't got a hold of the Holy Ghost. That means you're going to Egypt to get your fix. The children of Israel lived in Egypt to get their fix. But they didn't realize that they got in bondage when they went back to Egypt. Whenever you go to Egypt, you're always going to be in bondage. That's the only purpose for Egypt. That's the only purpose for the world. That's the only purpose for sin. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, the enemy is so sly. He's a sly old fox. He wants to get you back to Egypt so you walk away from your freedom. He wants you to get you to back to Egypt so you never reach the promised land. But God's blessing is yea and amen. He said, I got a next level for you, and you cannot succumb to go back to Egypt, to lay a hold of Egypt, to surrender your next level. You know what's amazing, too, is even sexual sin. 23,000 people died in one day because of sexual sin. Listen, if you're living with somebody and you're not married to them, you're in sin. Now, listen, now, I know they did a study on the millennials and below that were church folk. And they said, is it a sin to have sex before marriage? And they all said no. The majority of young American believers do not believe it's a sin to have sex before marriage. I have news for you. The Bible says differently. If you're having sex before marriage, that means you're in fornication. If you're in fornication, watch now, and many of them did not please God. To that day, 23,000 people died because of sexual sin. We're blessed that we're not seeing immediate retribution from God. Can I hear an amen? Can you imagine if God said, oh, you sin? Be a heck of a lot more than 23,000 fried up. We got people that are living with people. We got people that are having sex with somebody that's not their husband or wife. That's a sin. That's called adultery, sexual sin. Homosexuality is a sexual sin. Church don't want to talk about this today. In fact, in Canada, if I was preaching in Canada today, the first time I mentioned this, it'd be a $5,000 fine. The second time I mentioned this in Canada from the pulpit, it'll be a $50,000 fine. The third time I would mention this in Canada from the pulpit, I would be put in jail. And if you think that's not going to happen in America, you're a little bit delusional. You see, there's going to come where the world is going to so try to penetrate the church, and the church is going to have to take a stand and have to pay a price, even called persecution, to stand firm on the word of God. I refuse to go back to Egypt. I refuse to go back to Egypt. I refuse to go back to the old life. I'm stepping into my next level. And listen now, not everybody's going to want to go. You can say you love God, but you're lying. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, like I said earlier, I know how to build a big church. This is not a sermon to build a big church with. I'm offended. I'm hurt. He hurt my feelings. I don't believe what he's saying. Listen, you can say you don't believe in what I'm saying, but baby, you open the New Testament. The biggest thing that Paul always warns about is sexual sin. Flee fornication. The word flee doesn't mean trot. The word flee means run. Grab your behind and run forward. This is where the body of Christ. Now listen, now the church has been so delusionalized. I don't even know if that's a word, but that sounded really good. That we have churches now that don't preach the gospel anymore. That we have pastors that are standing up behind the pulpit and saying, the Bible's not truly the word of God. It's just a nice book of anecdotes. Pastors standing up behind the pulpit these days that are saying, you can live whatever way you want just as long as you're nice to people. There are pastors that are standing up. Now, listen, even now denominations have all opened it up so those that are living in sexual sin can actually be pastors. Egypt is trying to get into the church to keep us from our promised land. And the promised land is not only that we see Jesus face to face, but the promised land is that we walk in the power of the Holy Ghost and we make a difference on this planet, that we have the message, the good news of Jesus Christ. And God has said that is the power of God unto salvation, that we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, that we cast out devils, that we speak with new tongues, that we walk in the supernatural faith of heaven and call those things which are not as though they already are. This is not religion. This is a relationship. That's why the many that did not please God missed the whole thing. It's not about being good religion. It's about knowing God and pleasing God. Can I hear an amen, Romai? You see, we've got to make a decision. I'm almost done. 2 more hours, we're out of here. There are many of us, listen, myself included, how many of you know that Egypt keeps trying to suck you in? Amen. Egypt, always, I don't care how many years you've been born again, Egypt always tries to suck you back. Why? Because the devil don't ever want you to reach your promised land. Remember, only 2 did out of the entire group. Out of 2.5 million people, only 2 made it. Joshua and Caleb. Because they said, if God said it, it's so. I don't care what my opinion is. I don't care what my thoughts are. If God declared it, yea and amen, not one jot of tittle shall pass away before it all comes to fruition. If God said it, I believe it, and it is done. So God said, that's your promised land. They said, I don't care if the giants are massive. I don't care if their weapons are greater. I don't care if there are walls so high you can't even climb. If God said it's ours, it is ours. I'm going to the next level no matter what the cost is. I'm not going back to Egypt. I'm not going to wander in the wilderness. I'm going to have all that God has promised me. Some of us go back to Egypt with our attitude. We have attitudinal issues, pride, we're hard. Some of us, the security for Egypt is our security. Well, at least I had a meal every day. Remember this one guy got arrested. He got arrested because he wanted a warm cell and a meal to eat. But what he didn't understand is that now he's locked behind bars. Your security is not in your past. Your security is not in Egypt. Your security is not in your party. Your security is not in your booze. Your security is not in your sexual experiences. Your security, I was trying to say that really nice because my wife gets really mad and says bad things to me after service. Your security is in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you know him, you remain in freedom. And you can call, listen now, I walk by faith and not by sight. My security is in Christ. Because if God is on my side, there's nothing that I cannot do. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. And if I say unto this mountain, be thou removed, cast into the sea, do not doubt, I shall have what I ask. Some of us, it's our locations. We keep going back to Egypt. We keep going back to the bar. Why do you keep going back to that bar? Why do you keep going back to that person? Why? Because you have a sense of security there. You know what's amazing? Our placing ourselves back in Egypt changes everyone's life around us. Because the choices we make never impact us. They impact everybody around us. I got to end. I'm late. I've only preached an hour. I'm good. Some of us keep going back to Egypt with our people that we hang with. Listen, I'm not even talking Christians. Some of you need to get rid of some of your Christian friends. Your Christian friends are not helping you. They're not building you. They're only complaining to you, whining to you. You need to look at them and say, I love you from a distance. Man, you got to surround yourself with people of faith. You got to surround yourself with people of power. You got to surround your people that are going to draw you to you. You got to surround yourself with a Joshua and a Caleb. You got to choose to do that. This is all about choice. Some people go back with their morals, their sexual sins, their lying, their cheating, their stealing. Some of them go back to Egypt with their unforgiveness. Listen, the point is that no matter what, we're all tempted in some dimension. Every time we go back, we end up back in bondage. The reason he got you out of Egypt is because you cried to get out of Egypt because you were in bondage. It's so easy to forget what that was back there. You wanted to leave there for a reason. The joy wasn't there. The peace wasn't there. The knowing God wasn't there. Listen, if it was that good, why did you leave in the first place? But you left because you knew it was bad. And you needed something. And his name is Jesus. Why go back to what you knew was bondage, thinking it will bring you sanctity? I press on. I press on. I press on. Forgetting those things which are behind, I'm not going back to Egypt. Even when I'm tempted, I've got to make a decision. I've got to think with my right mind. It looks good, smells good. It's titillating, tantalizing. But if I do this sin, I lose my freedom. I go back to my Egypt. I go back to Sodom. Listen, God's got great things for you. He really does. He has phenomenal plans for your life. But many displeased him. And we've got to make a decision. I choose to please God. I choose to walk with God. I choose to obey God. No matter what my feelings are, no matter what my thoughts are, no matter what I like, no matter what I dislike, no matter whether it makes me comfortable, no matter what makes me uncomfortable, if God said it, I'll obey. Because I know the opposite is going to give me a swift boot in the behind. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. If a man sows of the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. If a man sows of the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. So don't deceive yourself. You're thinking that you're blessed. You're not blessed. You're thinking that living in Egypt is okay because you have not died. Listen, you are dying. You think that you're okay with the Lord, and if you die today, you're going to heaven. No! Don't deceive yourself. Like I said, it's not the best sermon to grow a church with, but it's the best sermon to grow the kingdom with. So the question is this: where's your Egypt? Where do you keep going back to? You really want cabbage that bad? You really like tromping the straw in the mud for 12 hours a day in the heat of Egypt? That much? You got to ask yourself a question. Is it really worth living in Egypt and surrendering your promise? I don't know. People call me greedy. I've been called so many things. I don't care. Because they're going to have what they're going to have, but I'm going to get what I'm after. And with all my getting, I'm going to get Jesus. And when I get a hold of Jesus, I step into the promised land where there's milk and honey, where there's blessing going in and blessing coming out. With his blessing in my storehouse and his blessing in my basket. Where the blessings are going to trip me up and they're going to chase me down. Because I'm a child of God. I'm not some religious man. I'm not some religious woman. I'm a man that loves God with all of my heart. And I'm running this race and I'm going to win. And what am I going to win? I'm going to gain Christ. When I get Christ, then I have the kingdom. When I have the kingdom, then I have access. When I have access, there's nothing lacking, nothing missing, nothing broken. I got my God on my side. Jesus is powerful. Jesus is good. And I want it all. I want it all. Egypt is not good enough for me. I'm sorry. Been there. I even visited there. I got the postcard, sent it. And you know, the postcard don't even look good. We all have choices. And I just, as your pastors, we have great pastors on staff. We all want one thing for you. And that is for you to reach your next level this year. But hear me, you can't reach it living in Egypt. You can't reach it if you don't please God. Obey. Obey him.
Don't tell me what to do.
Egyptian. Because last I knew, if you love me, keep my commandments. I don't obey him because I have to. I obey him because I love him. That's why conviction is so powerful when you go back to Egypt. You realize that you left the one who loves you the most. And if you're not feeling that conviction any longer, you're in a really bad spot. Can I just say that one more time? I've kept you here this long. I might as well just another 3 minutes. If you are in Egypt and you don't feel conviction, you're in a really scary place. For there's a way that seems right unto man that leads to death. It means you're so far from God you can't even hear his voice anymore. And you've deceived yourself into believing that you're okay. That's the scary part. I would rather walk in such heavy, heavy conviction than see it go. But it's called hard-heartedness. Every time you sin, it's like a callus. I don't really play guitar, but I play guitar. And I picked up a guitar the other day and I started playing with it. It had been so long that my fingers were screaming after like 10 minutes of playing the guitar. But I picked it up the next day, played a little bit more. Picked it up the next day, played a little bit more. And after a week, I already got my calluses back. So I can play now for as long as I want, and I don't have pain in my fingers. That's called a callous heart. The first time you go back to Egypt and you placate it, the next time you go back, it doesn't convict you as much. The next time, not as much. And then all of a sudden, you're so callous in your heart, you're not even hearing the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Baby, I'd fall on your face so quick. I'd rededicate your heart to Jesus and run from sin. Because Egypt only has one place for you. Bondage. And when you die in Egypt, they don't bury you in the promised land. You die separated from the blessings of God. Woo, come on now. Jesus, I'm starting to sweat even. Father, I thank you that you love us so much that you gave us examples of the children of Israel. Lord, you showed us what you don't want us to do so we can please you. Thank you for showing us Lot's wife who loved Sodom so much when she looked back, Lord, it cost her life and it cost her family, their mother. Cost Lot his wife. It crushed a family because of Egypt. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that everyone in this room, no matter where they're playing in Egypt, they'll feel that nasty taste. They'll feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit that God, each one of us will run from Egypt and run to God that we may have and obtain the promised land, the blessings of heaven, that God will live and walk in you. In him we live and move and have our being. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I don't have a religion for you. I have Jesus for you. I don't have a church for you to join. You can't join here. We don't have membership. But I have a family called the family of God for you. Egypt is a horrible taskmaster. You know it now. And today I'm asking you, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want to lead you into the best relationship you've ever had. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I got a plan for you and a purpose for you. I've got a promised land for you. I've got things you can't even imagine. Your eye has not seen. Your ear has not heard. Your mind cannot even conceive the great things that I have in store for you if you love me. Today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior and you want him in your life, you know you're not right with God. You know, today if you die, you question whether you're going to heaven. I want to lead you to Christ. This morning, if you'd like Jesus in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. Thank you, ma'am. I know it didn't take you long. Jesus has been all over you all service. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. You can put your hand right back down. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir, in the back. Thank you, young man. Is there anyone else this morning? Come on. Come on, this is your moment. Don't wait. 5, 4. Come on, don't wait. Don't wait. That tongue interpretation was so powerful. There you go, young man. Let the little children lead him. That tongue interpretation was so powerful because the Lord spoke to us and said, this might be your last time. Don't try to scare me, baby. You need the hell scared out of you. Because you need Jesus. Well, I want to live my life and I'll repent later. Who says you can repent later? You can't even repent unless the Holy Ghost draws you. So everyone that raised their hand right there, the Holy Spirit is drawing them. And some that didn't raise their hand, the Holy Spirit's drawing you and you're not raising your hand. You think you could just got another time. You don't know if you got another time. Don't play the game. This isn't chess. This isn't church. This is kingdom. One more time. You want to get right with God and you didn't raise your hand already. Thank you, young lady. I love you. Watch Jesus. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. You love the Lord. I watch you worship in the back there, Mr. Cool Ball. Let's all stand to our feet. I'm going to have Mindy come to the front right now. Mindy, if you'll come over here, stand on the third step, smile at everybody. This is my daughter-in-law, Mindy. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come to the front of the altar. And I know some of you are saying,
well, I just wanted to be happy at church today.
But you can be. I'm leaving happy because I know I'm not going back to Egypt. I got a reason to shout because I was in darkness, but God brought me out. We got a great song for you. It's called I'm Never Going Back. Nothing back there, baby. Nothing back there. She wants Jesus right there. Come on now. If you raise your hand for salvation, can anybody turn to the person next to you and say, if you raise your hand or didn't raise your hand but you want to go up, I'll go with you. Come on, ask somebody right next to you right now. If you'd like to receive the Lord, you raise your hand. I want you to meet me right here, right now. Come right out of your chair. Be bold. Amen. Thank you. Come right out of your chair. Come right on up here. Amen. Well, I'll be embarrassed. Who cares? We all came the same way. We all walk front for Jesus. Amen. He's going to change your life. You'll never be the same again. Coming out of Egypt. Coming out of Egypt. Coming out of Egypt. I'm proud of you. Baby, God's got great things for you. Sir, proud of you. Young man, proud of you, man. Today's your day. Sir, I love the fact that at your age, you want God. You know, what's really cool is you never even have to play with Egypt like some of us adults did. You're going to be, God's going to keep you and strengthen you, and you can be a preacher. Do you know there's a young man, his name was Little David. He started preaching at 5 years old. Do you know he preached all over the world at crowds of 20, 30,000 people? Yeah, his name was Little David. He's not little anymore, and he's not young. He's very old. But you know what? God can use you the same way, so I'm very proud. Do you girls come up for salvation?